Let us listen together for God's word. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 21. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel of Aramean of Padam Aram, sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived.
Exodus chapter 9, verse 29. And Moses said to Pharaoh, "As soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's."
1 Kings chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart, the covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you descended to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, 'There shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel.' If only your children look to their way to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David."
Psalm 116, verses 1 through 4. I love the Lord because God has heard my voice in my supplications, because God has inclined God's ear to me. Therefore, I will call on God as long as I live. The snares of death encompass me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life.
Jeremiah chapter 21, verses 10 through 14. For thus says the Lord, "Only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile."
Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Jesus said, "And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for that they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
Luke chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And Jesus ordered the man to tell no one about the healing. Go, he said, and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering to your cleansing for a testimony to them. But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. But he would withdraw to deserted places and pray.
About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 9 through 10.
Romans, chapter 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. So as we just heard, Isaac prayed, and Moses prayed, and Elijah prayed, and King Solomon prayed. The psalmist prayed, and Jeremiah prayed, and Jesus prayed, and Peter prayed, and Paul prayed, and James prayed. First and New Testament, from beginning to end, Scripture is filled with people who pray. Beyond Scripture, we find prayer often in the context of religious communities, right? Churches and synagogues and other houses of worship. We pray in this church all the time, don't we? We pray in Sunday morning worship. We pray before our meetings. We pray online. And we ask one another to hold us in their personal prayers throughout the week. Beyond the context of Scripture and prayer in the context of religious communities, we also see prayer in the public square, don't we? Even though there's been more and more pushback about public prayer in recent years. So we hear prayers at presidential inaugurations every 4 years. We hear prayers sometimes at graduations and baccalaureate services. There's a prayer that kicks off the Memorial Day parade here in Jericho Underhill. And I have personally prayed at Cub Scout meetings and at Underhill Town Meeting. Of course, there's prayer too in movies and in television. So in both sacred and secular settings, we see prayer all the time. Either we're praying or we observe other people praying. As common as prayer is, though, you might agree with me that for most of us, prayer raises many questions. Right? We wonder why we pray. We wonder how to pray and how often to pray. We wonder if we are the only ones who are uncomfortable praying in public. We wonder if it's okay to ask God for things in prayers, and we wonder what it means when God doesn't seem to answer our prayers, and we wonder a whole bunch of other things about prayer too. So prayer is common, but it also raises many questions for us. So because of that dynamic, I thought it was appropriate and helpful to take a few weeks to think about prayer together in this setting, in conjunction with our 40 Days of Prayer initiative that I mentioned. So over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to do a mini sermon series on prayer. And our first topic this week will be the question, why pray? Next week, we'll look together at how to pray. And then finally, on March 23rd, we'll end by looking at some specific challenges that many of us face in our own personal prayer lives. Please know that I come to you not as a prayer expert, not as someone who's convinced there's only one way to pray and it's my way, but I come to you as a fellow prayer, someone with my own observations and experiences who's but interested also in your experiences and observations. And I hope that you share those with me and with one another. It is my hope that over the next few weeks and in conjunction with the 40 Days of Prayer initiative, that all of us grow with a deeper understanding of prayer, but that also we gain some practical skills that can help us to deepen our own prayer lives. So we begin. And we begin this morning with this question. Why do we as followers of Jesus pray? I mean, why? What's the purpose? What's the goal? What's the use? Why do we pray? Well, as I was thinking about that question and reflecting and studying and praying, I came up with a huge list of reasons why we pray. So we don't have time to go into all of those, but there are five in particular that I want to highlight for us this morning. So the first reason that I think that we as followers of Jesus pray is a simple one. We pray because Jesus himself prayed. We know this from the gospel record in places like Mark 1 and Matthew 26 and Luke 11. And we know from the gospel record that Jesus didn't just pray rarely, but that he prayed often as part of his pattern of days and that it was important to him. So I think we followers of Jesus pray because Jesus prayed and we want to be more like him. Second reason. We pray not only because Jesus prayed, but also because Jesus wanted us to pray, because it was good and healthy and beneficial in many ways. So we see in Matthew chapter 6, which we read, how Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking to the crowds, and he says to them, look, man, don't pray like those hypocrites who just pray publicly to make people think that they're all spiritual, and don't pray and babble on and on and on. But look, just go into a quiet place and pray like this, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And as Jesus teaches us how to pray, he sends a strong message to us that he wanted us to pray because it was good and right and healthy and beneficial to our lives and to the life of the world, even transformational. So we pray because Jesus prayed. We pray because Jesus wanted us to pray. But I think we also pray because when we pray, our relationship with God develops. A good friend of mine used to say that praying's just talking. And it is, right? I mean, when we pray, we talk with God just like we would talk with a friend, a relative, a neighbor, a child. We just share our lives in a sort of a informal way, our hopes, our joys, our concerns, our deepest worries, our deepest high points. We share our lives with God, and when we do that, naturally, organically, a relationship develops. No magic, no miracles, just talking with God about our lives, and relationship develops. Fourth, this is a little harder one maybe. We pray because when we pray, our flame becomes one with God's flame. Just sort of a strange thing to say, I know, but here's what I mean. That sometimes maybe often, God seems distant from us. Often, perhaps, God seems silent, and it seems like the relationship and our talking is all one-sided. Sometimes we wonder that if God exists at all. But you see, as we pray, as we talk and share our lives, and as the relationship develops, we begin also to feel God's presence. We feel God's fire within us and around us. We feel our own fires getting warmer and brighter. That's not something that I can prove to you. That's not something that I can convince you of, and it's sort of mystical. But it's just what happens in my experience when we pray. Saint Simeon wrote these wonderful words sometime around the beginning of the 10th century CE. He writes this, he says, "What is this wondrous mystery unfolding within me? I have no words to name it. For God is above all praise, transcends all words. My reason sees what has happened and wishes to explain, yet I can find no words to tell you. What my reason sees is invisible, simple, pure, unbounded in its majesty. I have seen the totality received not in essence, but by participation, as when you light a flame from a flame, the whole flame you receive." Some beautiful, wonderful words where he gets to the reality that when we pray, which is one way we participate with God, but when we pray, our flame becomes one with God's flame. Maybe not so mystical or hard to understand after all. So lastly, this morning, a reason that I think we pray is because prayer changes things. I mean, prayer is a simple, portable thing you can carry around in your pocket and pull out when you need change. It holds the power to change. A few years ago, I was a chaplain at a hospital in the summer. And on my second week, I was told the horrifying news that I was assigned to the emergency room, which has filled me with terror. And for good reason, because on the second day in the ER, I walked into the ward and heard screams and screams and screams coming from a room. All the nurses and doctors were running around and they were ignoring it. And so I stopped the head nurse and asked her what was going on. And she said that there was a woman in that room who was withdrawing from opiates and they couldn't treat her till some test results came back. So she went out of her business and I was faced with a choice. And I'll tell you, I had this strong urge to run in exactly the opposite direction. But somehow I breathed and found my courage, and I walked into that room, and there she was, screaming and screaming and screaming. I could not talk with her. I could not comfort her. I was at a complete loss as to what to do. So in desperation, I offered to her the only thing I had to offer her that day. Over her screams, I yelled, "Should we pray together?" And surprised, she nodded her head. So I just grabbed her hand, and I just bowed my head and I said, I don't know what I said, something about God, please be with us and comfort and heal. And to my surprise again, when the words started to come out, she quieted down, she stopped screaming and she just sort of looked at me. And when I was done with my prayer, we ended up hanging out together for 15 minutes and just talking a little bit about what was going on in her life. And then the doctors came and ushered me out so they can continue the treatment. It was this strange sort of blip in my life, but it was an essential epiphany about prayer, because in that moment I saw that prayer holds the power to change things in real ways. You see, sometimes prayer changes us simply because the act of praying tends to calm us and refocus us. It has a physical reaction. Sometimes prayer changes us and changes our relationships, right? Because the people you pray with, it's such an intimate act that the act of praying together tends to draw people closer together. You see, the next day I saw that woman up on one of the floors, and we instantly had a relationship together that we hadn't had before. Sometimes prayer changes us spiritually, because when we pray, we stop in the flow of our lives, we make room for the Holy Spirit to enter in, and we begin to feel God's real presence. Sometimes prayer changes us miraculously, because we ask for God's intervention, and sometimes God chooses to intervene in that moment and bring about real and tangible and concrete change in our lives. I believe that. So I don't know what the dynamic was in that room that day. I don't know exactly how things changed, but I know that the act of praying changed things for that woman, for me, and for the entire ER that day. Prayer holds the power to really change things in a world in need of change. So why do we pray? There's lots and lots of reasons. But there's five that I offer to you for your reflection this week. We pray because Jesus prayed. We pray because Jesus wanted us to pray. We pray because prayer deepens our relationship with God. We pray because when we pray, our flame becomes one with God's flame, and we pray because it changes things in a world in need of change. So that's what I got for your reflection this week. So let's talk about that. Talk with one another. Think about it. Write me emails and think, maybe add your own list of why you pray. But let's not just talk about prayer. Let's actually do it. Dear ones, let's be together in prayer. God, prayer is all around us, but we got lots of questions about it. Sometimes it seems mystery, sometimes it seems burden, sometimes it seems obligation, sometimes it seems boring. But God, awaken us to the gift that is prayer. Help us to find liberation there, to find joy, to find peace, to find freedom, to find Jesus. And God, help us simply to pray more often and discover the gifts that await us. Amen.